Blog Talk Radio.
You are muted.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Think and Grow Rich Show. My name
this
is Gail.
This meeting
Dillon,
is being recorded.
And I am just so excited every week that I get to come to you and share the principles from Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich, and get to hang out with such amazing co-hosts. And we're going to bring them into the conversation, but I hope you guys are prepared to absolutely change the trajectory of your life. That's what's going to happen over the next hour or so. So grab your book, grab a pen, and let's jump in. I want to bring in my co-host because this is probably one of the highlights of my week when I get to hang out with such amazing people. So the first that I want to bring in is Ms. Ursula Odom. I'm excited to have that conversation with you. I'm always excited to share the name of your company, Sula 2. Great story, great company. Ursula, welcome to the conversation and share a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you, Galen. Yes, I am CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new, and everything that we do. We capture all of that hard work and wisdom that you have and transform them into books, videos, legacy walls, and live performances. And today, we're talking about the subconscious mind, and that's who we are, and that's what I like to go for, to find out how you got to be who you are, and then share the best of you with the world.
All right. Well, you know, next I want to go to a guy who is, he's actually one of my coaches, right? This guy does this for real. So Dr. Peter James, come on into the conversation and share a little bit about not only your background, but how you reference and leverage the subconscious mind to do what you do at such a high level.
Yeah, Galen, good morning to you all. Good morning to you, Galen. It's good to be here this morning. I am Dr. Peter A. James, the high performance coach, helping you to shift your mindset. And it's funny because this whole subconscious mind thing, the awareness of it is a shift of your mindset, your shift of your awareness. And oftentimes we are unaware of what we are carrying. We are unaware of what we've brought from our childhood, from relationships, from our past, and how they manifest themselves in our day-to-day lives. And oftentimes we are so unaware that they sink into our subconscious and almost become a part of our daily lives. Today we're going to talk about how to become more aware of these, what to do in different scenarios for sure. I'm looking forward to the conversation, Galen. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be good stuff.
All right. As my uncle used to say, we're cooking with grease this morning, so you guys better hold on. Okay, next is the mastermind of this entire group, the mastermind behind this mastermind, Ms. Ann McNeil. Ms. Ann, come on into the conversation. Share your thoughts and your learnings and what this chapter in particular has meant to you over the several decades that you've been reading this book.
Well, Galen, thank you. Ann McNeil, the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And Galen, I tell you, we talk about the subconscious mind being the connecting link. But when you think about nothing happens without the subconscious mind controlling that action. And so I'm excited to be a part of this always. And the idea of learning more and more helps me to understand how little I do know about my own mind. So let's get started.
Well, terrific. Well, if Ms. Ann doesn't fully understand this content, if she's constantly learning, if this is something that she's in every week, if not every day, then it's definitely room for all of us. So let's jump in. This is a really, really significant chapter. It's actually the 11th step of an entire system that Napoleon Hill has created and shared with us. And today, we're just going to have a mastermind conversation. We get together, I'd say almost twice a week. In most weeks, we get together twice a week, and we just talk about the principles of this book. And we just want to share that conversation with you. So I'm just going to toss this out to my co-host to just kind of get in. What are some of the key principles that you pulled from the subconscious mind? I know for me personally, especially in today's environment. There's a couple of things. I'm going to actually turn to a couple of sections in this book where it talks about that, you know, Napoleon Hill talks about how the brain is never idle, that it's never idle. It's always pulling from information that's coming out, that's coming at you, whether positive or negative. And then it becomes your responsibility to make sure that those positive emotions, that positive information is dominating your thoughts. So I just wanted to share, before I kick this to my co-host, what he suggests are 7 positive emotions that you should have at the forefront of your mind. And those positive emotions are desire, faith, love, sex, enthusiasm, romance, and hope. So those are the emotions that if you can lock on and latch into those things and have them directed towards this area of desire that you have, you're going to achieve, you have a better chance of achieving your desires. Some of the negative emotions that he suggests that we try to stay away from, and you might feel some of those dominating today's environment, those emotions are jealousy, hatred, revenge, greed, superstition, and anger. So when you start feeling some of those emotions or you start feeling some of that energy coming from someone else, they're competing for your mental space. They're competing for your energy in order to do something that you might not be hopeful or desirous of doing. So with that, I just want to toss this out to my co-host and just have a conversation. Ms. Ann, go ahead.
If the mind is never idle, then if we take the positive emotions and the negative emotions, the question that comes to my mind then becomes, for all of our listeners and all of us, the question becomes, how then do we learn to program the mind to actually achieve that which we desire? And I'd like to suggest, just in the rereading, a few things. One is the goal. Think about, if you have a goal, the chances of your mind directing itself subconsciously through the conscious toward the goal, the chances of that impacting the positive emotions a lot more than the negative. The second thing I'd like to suggest, and we learned this from the auto-suggestion chapter, another way to program the mind for the positive could possibly be that affirmation. Some of us are memorizing the self-confidence formula, and it is the programming of the mind to achieve that which we desire, right, going back to the first chapter. But I'd like to suggest that the third way, and I think we've all gone through this, right, and it's what you just talked about, is these emotions, positive ones, because the negative ones will always, in that little devil on the shoulder saying, no, don't get up early. No. Don't make that extra sales call. No. You can take 2 more slices of that cake. Right? And so I just want to just kick this off by sharing with all of our listeners, think about how do you consciously choose to subconsciously program your own mind as we begin this conversation. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, I definitely want to kick this to Ursula, but one of the things that came to mind, it's interesting how this book was written in 1937, but today's philosophy, today's success philosophy is all pulled from the same foundational content. 2 days ago, I had an opportunity to speak with New York Times bestselling author Shirzad Sharmain, who wrote Positive Intelligence, and it's really, really kind of taken the world by storm right now. Really, really smart guy. But the concept, the foundation of his book is that we have 2 parts of our brain. We have the sage part of our brain, which controls all wisdom. It's where we show up in our best light. And then we have the saboteurs part of our brain that are always telling us what we can't do, why we can't do it. The saboteur's job is to keep us safe. And it's just so consistent with this information. that Napoleon Hill, this is the foundation of all the self-help, neuroscience, brain psychology that that is taking the world by storm today. It's all foundationed in this book. So I think it just really connected really nicely with what you just mentioned, Ms. Ann. But Ursula, I would love to get your thoughts on this concept, this idea of leveraging the subconscious mind in particular.
Well, first I'd like to respond to something that Ann said and then introduce something into the conversation. When she was talking, it reminded me of my Upward Bound director came to visit me at college, and she expressed how happy she was with me during that time frame in school, and that locked my emotion into her to the point where I said to her, Mrs. Fisher, 10 years from now, I'm going to invite you to my home. I didn't think about that statement 10 years. And when I got my first home, I sent her an invitation or called her. And then she sent me a card that has become a part of who I am. She said, Ursula, sometimes people live in the cocoons of their own habits, not realizing that butterflies are possible. So one thing led to another that has now become a part of my psyche. And that was a subconscious, locked-in emotion that turned into action. And now what I'd like to ask about, when I read on page 214, it talks about the fact that emotionalized thoughts have, only emotionalized thoughts have any action influence upon the subconscious mind. And what that made me wonder about is in a work environment, we often hear that, oh, you're not supposed to show emotion. Okay, but we all have them. So there's the battle between the good emotions and the bad emotions. And then I'm wondering if that's the point of control. You know, how do those things play out in a work environment? Control versus being controlled. And the statement in sales is either sell or be sold. So what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, my. I mean, that's a great point. And, you know, I would love to share my perspective, but Dr. James, I want to bring you in because I know you and I are really, really passionate about this idea of do you share emotions at work? How do you leverage your emotions? How do you have emotional intelligence about how you show up at work? So I know that this conversation is right up your alley.
Right up my alley. Yeah, you're throwing me an alley-oop there, Galen. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. And Ursula, you have such a great question, great insight into this awareness of emotions for sure. Those of you who are familiar with emotional intelligence, you know that there are four key areas to it: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and then also the relationship management piece of it as well. And now it's a matter of, on those four areas, how are you controlling them, but also managing them? Because let's just face it, Ursula, that subduing your emotions on a regular basis is not healthy, right? It's just not, because you're not able to express, you're not able to cry. It's important that you're able to express yourself, because that's why we have emotions, for us to be able to do so. That being said, you know, oftentimes we let our emotions get the best of us. You've heard that phrase before as well, right? So now, how in turn can you look to manage them in different scenarios? Yes, allow yourself to express, but at the same time, not let them manage you, right? Not let your emotions manage you, but turn the table on them and you manage them to a certain extent. And this whole emotions thing, this whole emotional conversation can even be attributed to a reaction, a response, or a do nothing. So I was actually just wrote an article about having choices in life, right? When someone agitates you, irritates you, gets you mad, frustrated, cuts you off on the road, whatever the case may be, you have a choice. Even for that matter, when the news presents stimuli from politicians in our day and age, you have a choice. You can react, You can respond or you can do nothing. Oftentimes, we as a society, we react. You see it on social media all the time. And the funny thing about social media is you have the chance to filter yourself, to hold back, but still we go on there and post some negative stuff on there. You know, we choose to react to this. We don't have to. We don't have to do anything, honestly. We can just be quiet, silence, you know. But we sometimes don't. Or the other choice, though, is the response. Taking your time, digesting it, reflecting on it, maybe even sleeping on it to a certain extent, and then responding. And I think what Napoleon Hill is really trying to tell us in this subconscious mind chapter is we do have more control than we give ourselves credit for, that we even tell ourselves that we have control over. We just let it go to a certain extent, and the management of it escapes us, for lack of a better word. But this is a very insightful conversation, and there's more to this, Galen, so I'm looking forward to chime back in a little bit for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I enjoy about this and the way that we can have this conversation every week and the conversation never gets old is because this is part of a complete system. This is part of an entire philosophy. And so I can think of no one better to share that that entire philosophy than Ms. Ann McNeil. So Ann, would you take us through all of the steps, all the principles that Napoleon Hill has assembled to help us live our best lives and think and grow rich in whatever field we might be in?
All right, absolutely, Galen. And I was so tempted to respond to what what we've already heard, but I will use my subconscious mind to follow instructions as they have been given to me. All right. The philosophy and these principles are laid out in 13 steps. The first is desire. And Napoleon Hill tells us that desire is the starting point of all achievement. And as we talk about the subconscious mind, consider the fact that your subconscious mind is programmed by your desire. The second step is faith, and it tells us that the visualization and belief in the attainment of your desire is really the second step, which is your faith. And remember that a faith means absolutely nothing if you don't apply it, apply faith. Third is auto-suggestion. Even though it's the third step in the principle, it is also called the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. And now we see the connection between the subconscious mind and its influence is controlled by your self-talk. Your auto-suggestion, same as your self-talk. The fourth principle is entitled specialized knowledge. Your specialized knowledge, even though it's the fourth step to riches, is the medium for influencing really your experiences. You can have general knowledge or you can have specialized knowledge. It's called the personal experiences or your observations. The fifth step is your imagination. Now we know there's two types, there's creative and there's synthetic. But he calls your imagination the workshop of the mind, where all things are shaped and formed. But just imagine, though, just imagine your imagination and your subconscious mind are formed in your own mind, but directed by your conscious mind. Then we get to your organized planning. Even though it's the sixth step to riches, it is actually the crystallization of your desire, which is your first step, into the actions that you're going to take or not. Then we go to number seven. The seventh step to riches is decision, the mastery of procrastination. You get to decide to do that which the positive is saying, or you get to decide to do that which the negative voice we've heard about the subconscious mind is saying. I believe that your decision is going to be based upon your desire. if we tie this back to the subconscious mind, your subconscious mind is based upon the decision that your conscious mind is sending you. Peter just talked about the influences of the media and all of these things. You get to decide whether or not you're going to listen to that. Then step number eight, the eighth step to riches, is persistence. Persistence is also considered to be the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Now, we talked earlier about all these principles. As we listen to them, they're built upon each other. Your persistence toward what? You're persisting toward your desire. By faith, with the spirit of excellence. Number nine, the ninth step to riches, is the power of the mastermind. And as we can see, as a part of this process that we're going through right now, we are that mastermind. And as the mastermind group, Napoleon Hill tells us, as a part of the organized planning chapter, that your organized plans actually begins with the formation of a mastermind group. And then finally, not finally, but for some of us, the next step is the sex transmutation principle. And all that is basically saying is that you're learning how to transfer one form of energy into another form of energy. Then we move on to the subconscious mind, which we're discussing today. So I hold that as the connecting link. We talked about that. Then we talk about the brain as the next step in the principle. The brain is receiving and the sending station of all thoughts. And as you continue to think about this, just think about, you know we have a physical brain, but the invisible brain is actually your subconscious mind. Wow. Then we look at the final step, which is the sixth sense. The sixth sense is the 13th step to riches, and it is, I think Peter said it, or maybe Galen, but the wisdom. So consider why people are able to connect the sixth sense to the subconscious mind, controlled by the conscious mind, controlled by your desire. And Galen, that gives us the 13th step to riches. Thank you.
Well, that was incredibly well done. I mean, it was quite a treat to have that information come from Ms. Ann McNeil. You know, one of the things that I'm just really drawn to is in this chapter where it talks about where the brain is never idle. And we often think that that the brain is the thinking part, right? That when we want to concentrate, that's when we're using our brain. But your brain is also soaking in information when you just happen to be driving your car and there's something on the radio. There's songs on the radio. The lyrics of those songs, they're impacting your subconscious brain. When you're maybe studying in your living room and you just happen to have a TV on in the background, just for noise, the information coming from that television, that's impacting your subconscious brain. So the question I'm going to toss out to everyone is, how do you personally do as Napoleon Hill suggests, and ensure that the positive emotion, the positive information, that they are the dominating thoughts as opposed to all the negative information that's competing for your brain space? Because as all of us know, negative tends to hold on a lot longer. You have a negative experience, that tends to hold on a lot longer because there's a lot more emotion attached to it. And we have to really work to say, this is not what I want to focus on. This is not what I want to have dominate my mind. So what do you guys do to make sure that your dominating thoughts are the positive thoughts and not just anything that happens to come into your mind? Let's go to Ursula.
I can go ahead and go first. When I picked up the book in 1979 and began to read it, I did not quite understand what to do or how to do. whatever he was saying. I just followed the instructions. But as I began from 79 to today to understand that I have the power to control what I do when I do what I do, what is it that I desire to do? So I created an affirmation statement, and that affirmation statement covers 10 areas of my life. So each morning when I read that, I am making a conscious decision from the programming that I'm giving myself every single morning. And I was sharing previously, one of the programs, I used to be one of those people that would, had to be to work at 8 o'clock, and I got up at 7:30. And so I realized that there was no way. First of all, I was always late. But the more I got into this material and I understood, I didn't have any motivation to get up. So when I focused on the desire every morning, I then began to create what I call a daily date with myself. And this is the power of the subconscious mind to me in answering your question, in what do I do and how I do it. So I started getting up a little bit earlier, and that was not enough. And I got up a little bit earlier. That really was not enough. Because I have so much now, I'm so excited, everything, literally. Yes, for those of you that's listening and those of you who know me very well, you know this is true. And then I realized I found a sweet spot that would allow me, as soon as I get up, to program my own mind with prayer, meditation, my desires, what am I thankful for, what I'm grateful for, and then what are my expectations of the day. And this is so true. In my business, when times were really, really, really hard in the beginning of my business, I started programming my mind to say, you know, from the sixth step, talking to the infinite intelligence, saying, this is what I want. These are the 10 opportunities I want drawn to me. And every single day, I would literally sit there until I got 10. Now, some days I didn't get 10, but this is the point. Years later, I can go back, and 90%+ of everything I wrote has come to pass, if not 99%. And so for me, this is a very powerful subject. When I then began to understand, wait a minute, I am being programmed all day, every day by advertising, radio, TV. How can I self-talk? That program myself. And when I tell you, this is one of the most powerful, see, for all of us, nothing happens without the subconscious mind programming you. So program it toward what you desire. So I'll stop because I could take the whole show.
Yeah. I think we'd be okay with that, actually. Ursula?
Anne actually mentioned something that I was going to start talking about, and that's what television does. One of the things that I do is control what I allow people to say to me and the television that I watch. And just yesterday, I don't spend money on cable. Okay, so I went out and got one of those antenna things just so that I could get the local channels, because people were always messing with me about it. I could care less, but okay, so I did it. And the first thing I noticed is that I couldn't control the commercials, the same doggone thing over and over and over and over again. And it's like programming me. I don't want that. So when, and then the other thing is when people start talking about other people, it's like you mention a name and they say, oh, I know. And they give you some dirt on the person. It's like, I don't want to know that, you know? And then, if you're talking about the worst of everything that's around, I don't want to hear it. It's like if I hear it once, that's enough. But don't expect me to like what you're saying, because I'm not going to like it. Because I'm looking for what's good so that we can highlight that. We see bad stuff all the time, all day long, every day. So we get enough of that. And people around me know, if you're going to talk about that, go away. I don't want to hear it.
Galen.
Yes.
I must make a comment. Do you mind?
Please.
Okay, and this is the master class, and I want everybody to understand that this is what we do, this is who we are. So even though we have programmed a program for you today, this is live. I cannot resist, Ursula. You were just unconsciously programmed by the people to go out and get the antenna.
True.
Wait. I want to make this live. I want to make this live for all of our listeners. This subject is so powerful that we don't understand that there's so many ways to program and be programmed. And one of us said it earlier as a part of the show. So they were after you about the news and not being kept up to date. So you unconsciously. So let's follow this train of thought. It is said that the conscious mind is like the conductor or the captain of the ship, conscious mind. But the subconscious mind is like the orchestra, but it's like all of the people on the ship. The conductor or the captain is given the instructions, and then the people on the ship, they follow the instructions. So let's take this one instance where they said whatever they said, and then you unconsciously went out, you got the antenna to watch, and now you're being programmed. This is for all of us, and I have to share this a short story. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, and my youngest daughter, Ione, has crossword puzzles that she does. And so the granddaughter, she was in the restroom, and she looked up and saw the crossword puzzle. Now, we're programming her 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old mind from a very, very, very early age on what we want her to consume. This is so deep. Consciously and unconsciously, we get to choose, though. So by 3 years old, she's counting, she's adding, she's reading at 3. What is it that we each desire bad enough to where we can consciously choose to be the captain? This is so powerful, and so I just couldn't resist, Galen. So I was going to give that to you, Ursula.
No. Well, before we go back to Galen, I must respond, because here's what happened. Yes, I did do that, but it made me deal with it in the conscious mind. I made a choice that I don't want that, because I'd rather control what I see, when I see it, and how I see it. So when I want to binge watch, that's a choice. But don't just put it in my face and say, I have to sit here at a certain period of time and every day, all the time. No. So, yes, I did it for entertainment purposes, but it's not convincing me that that's the way I want to go. And that's a conscious choice that I'll tell my subconscious.
So just think about all of the people who are listening for the first, second, or third time and really are not conscious.
I think this is absolutely, you know, as I said earlier, this is the cornerstone of so many different things that I've gotten information for. So many different places, so many different resources reinforce this exact point. And Dr. Peter, I want to go to you because, you know, if you go to the Holy Scripture, it talks about you train up a child in the way that they go. When they get older, they're not going to depart from it, right? It's going to be there. Dr. Peter, you and I, in our work, we talk about mantras. We talk about affirmations a lot. What are some things that you do to ensure that your dominating thoughts are the positive thoughts, the thoughts consistent with where you're trying to go, as opposed to those things that on the surface you might not notice are influencing you?
Yeah, it's a good question there, Galen. And we got a few questions in the chat, so let's make sure that we hit them up just shortly after this. But let me go to the text first, and then I'll come back out to your question. On page 214 of the text, it goes along with everything we've been talking about today. It says, negative impulses automatically inject themselves into our mind and all the way to our subconscious mind. It also goes on to say that the positives must be intentionally injected. I'll say that again. The negative stuff, it creeps in automatically without even you thinking about this. But the positives have to be intentionally injected into your mind. So here's my analogy. All of you all who are listening, think about back to your childhood, right? Sunday school or even school. There were some things you had to recite on a regular basis. Pledge of Allegiance, Psalms 23 if you were in Sunday school. You know, I can go on and on and on. There's some things that you remember right now from your childhood and don't even remember that you remember them from your childhood. They'll just come up and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I still remember that from all the way back when you were, as Ann said, 4, 5, 6, 7. Stuff that has been, that you repeated on a regular basis. And they've stuck with you even to now, to your old self. So let me ask you this. You know, we're asking ourselves, well, how do we affect our subconscious mind now? How do we continue to do that? What are some habits to do that? Why can't you do the same thing you did when you were a child? Why can't you consciously inject phrases, thought patterns, quotes, you know, affirmations, as we like to call them, into your mind on a daily basis, kind of like you did when you were back in grade school? Why have we gotten away from that? Are we so busy for that? Or maybe we're just letting the news and social media come into our mind too much, and we don't have time for that, right? So I don't know. I've made the choice that I don't want to listen to the rhetoric. I don't want to watch social media stuff so much. I'd rather inject the positivity day in, day out, morning, noon, night, so that in the long term, it leaves my subconscious and becomes stuff that I'm doing on a surface and conscious level as well, Galen. So, you know, we have the choice. I said it earlier. We have the choice to do so. We oftentimes go to the easy or, might I say, lazy approach.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of that in my own life. I'm over 50 at this point, which is hard for me to believe. But to this day, I can't say my ABCs. I have to sing them, right? That song, it comes with that daggum song, right? Because that was part of my training. It was part of my education so many years ago. And quite honestly, I don't even think I got the song in school. I got that song from television, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to really be mindful of those things that we think are just harmless.
It was Schoolhouse Rock there, Galen. That's what it was, Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, my gosh. I learned about the Constitution from Schoolhouse Rock, right? So we have to be mindful. I think we have to be mindful. And right now, I'm going to talk to parents. We have to be mindful of what our kids just have playing in the background. Right, they're just lyrics to a song, right? It's just everyone singing that song, right? There's no harm to that, right? Let them watch the program. It's just that's the program everyone's watching. You want them to be connected with their friends, right? No, we don't. We want them, and I think Ursula said it nicely. If we don't program them, they will be programmed, and they will be programmed by people who may not and usually will not have their best interest in mind at heart. And the same is true for us. Dr. Peter, I think you said it incredibly nicely. We can use the exact same tools that we grew up with. There's a reason why we have this knowledge that we have, and it's because of the programming and the tools and strategies that we used to be programmed early on. Ms. Anna, I want to go back to you because you're obviously farther along in this work than any of us. You know, one of the things I get teased about a lot from my peers is I have this penchant for finding money or having money find me. And it's really about what you mentioned earlier. When I focus on this is what I'm trying, this is what I'm expecting to receive. I don't know how I'm going to receive it. I really don't care how I'm going to receive it. I just affix my brain and my attention to this is what is supposed to happen. This past week, my wife and I found out that we overpaid our taxes this past year, and we've got a refund check of $28,000 that we overspent that's now going to be coming back to us because I decided that it's about time for me to start getting some money. So how does that factor into this whole subconscious mind? Because you're the one that kind of honed me in and turned me on to this.
Well, I first want to go to Ron Williams' question to all of us. He said, what are some suggestions that you all have practiced to create your law of habit? And you just hit on one. Ron, I do believe, and it could be different for different people, but I believe based upon these principles, it starts with your desire. And then your desire, so let's take Galen, for example, and it's interesting, you asked the question, and Galen actually started answering the question without the question being, oh, wow. I just had a moment. So Galen answered the question not knowing the question was asked. That's the law. That is the power of the subconscious connecting to the infinite intelligence as the connecting link. Ursa and I had a moment over the weekend where we talked about some people. Ron, affirming that which you want is the beginning of the law. Everything we've heard so far with this laws of gravity, we know about that. We know about the laws of money, and you're an expert in that, Ron. But the actual practice of the law begins with that which you desire. So let's take Galen, for example. Galen is just sharing. He decided. He started with a desire. But I would like to suggest that Galen, by faith, believed that desire because he had past experiences over and over and over of that happening. Now, because I've heard Galen say this over and over for years, once he began to learn the law of the habit of using his subconscious mind to determine, okay, I'm going to get this money, not knowing exactly how much, not knowing exactly how it's going to come. But habitually, that's the auto-suggestion chapter, that's the principle, it would happen. And so for Galen, I think he's given his example. For me, my example, to answer your question about the law of habit, my example is once I began to learn that this auto-suggestion is programming, one of the ways to programming, we talked about the goal, we talked about the affirmation. There's also the emotion, but there's another one that talks about seeing things as if it already is. Seeing things as if it already is. And Ron, you may remember the story about the guy that burned the ship. You know, he went to Mexico and they were going to overtake it and he was outnumbered 100-1. And he told his men to burn their own ship. And when they did that, they knew they could not retreat or die. That is connecting the burning desire to live. Okay, because the burning desire does not always have money. The burning desire to live, now they won. We all have the burning of the ships in our lives, and this is what it looks like. Many, 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 many years ago in my business, I got to Thursday, I knew I did not have payroll. What was I going to do? Now, habit, law of habit, I began to program my own mind to say, okay, I got to have these people money because otherwise this is going to have to sound different. So now once I wrote the list, then I had to begin to take the action. But over time I began to learn, okay, why wait? Continue habitually doing this exercise every single day, come up out of the debt, And at the same time, Yvonne, you can appreciate this, at the same time of coming up out of debt, how about save some money? Just a little bit, $20. How about invest some money? Just a little bit, $20. Now, over 10, 20, 30, now 40 years of doing that, I think the rest is the law of habit. And I'll say this one last one, the law of habit. The habit, the law of reciprocity, the law of giving, the law of thanksgiving, the law of gratitude. Cannot explain it, but somehow, some way, like a magnet, it draws back to you much, much more than you sent out. So I think that hopefully for the others can answer the question if there's a need to do that. But we can also go to the other comments, Galen, if it's okay with you. I just want to mention, thank you, Wyman. He made the statement. He said, we must control your ear gates and eye gates, for it is through them that you gain access to your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then Mr. Regis, thank you, Mr. Bingham, the other Bingham, said, that is why one of the first words children learn is no, talking about earlier. And then Wyman again shares, think about how many cigarette commercials, jingles, we still remember from being programmed as children. Really, Winston tastes good, like dot, dot, dot. So I just wanted to just share those and thank all of our listeners and participants in joining in. And Johnny Lloyd, you have to say, our social media, on social media, why do we believe, and this is, why do we believe people are so comfortable with just emotionally reacting and not considering their ramifications? And I think, Johnny, you already know the answer to that. It's also from past programming of the subconscious mind. And unfortunately, it's unconsciously being programmed. So those are some of the comments that we've received, and we want to thank everybody for sharing. And all of those of you who are listening live, you can also share in the chat. And please remember to like, comment, and share this show. Thank you.
I definitely want to go to Ursula so that you can hear more about this annual meeting. But one of the I want to give our listeners, our viewers, some homework. I got two pieces of homework I want to give you. Number one, consistent with what Ms. Ann just talked about, I'm going to encourage everyone to watch. There's a Netflix movie called Social Dilemma, and it just talks about how social media will program you to do what they want you to do. I can buy a campaign on social media and tell the people that I'm buying it from, this is what I'm looking for. I need 1,000 people to do this particular thing. And there are companies that can program your social media feed so that I get 1,000 people to do exactly what I'm paying to have you do. And watch that show. It's very, very insightful, and it speaks directly to what we're talking about.
We put it in the chat. Excuse me there, Galen. Thank you, Dr. Guy, but Guy just mentioning the same thing about the social media, social dilemma. Can we put that link in the chat before we wrap up, and then that would make it easier for people?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. It's definitely a Netflix must-watch. It's a must-watch. But another opportunity for programming is this annual meeting, and this is how you can control and make sure that you're positively in programming your life and your mind in the direction that you say you're trying to achieve. So, Ursula, I know that you've attended the annual meeting several times, so I would love to get your take on why that's so important.
Well, being held accountable for your words is important. And that's what that meeting is all about. You say you want to do something, but how bad do you really want it? Is it really a desire or a comment? And that's where you come face to face with the reality of what you really want in life. And I always say this, one of the things that Ann says is that if you were held accountable for the 365 days that just went by, and you have to stand before the person or the maker or the person asking the question and say to them, well, I didn't do anything. Well, why should you have another 365 days to not do anything? So on the first weekend of the year, we come together in Boca Raton to find out how we've done and what we're going to do. And that's basically what it is. It's a family affair from the oldest to the youngest. It's all about how do we want to shape our lives intentionally from every aspect of that life, from finances to business to family to relaxation, health, whatever it happens to be that makes up who we are, that's what you focus on, being intentional about your plans. That happens the first weekend of January in Boca Raton, and the link is in the chat. But if you go to Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability 2021, you can register and do so now. We will be there, and we'll make sure that you tell us what you really want to do and then ask you again next year. Did you do it?
And yes, we will be social distancing. Should we say that?
Yes. Now, before you ask me to do that, I was wanting to say something else too. So here's my chance. You know, we talk about programming and being programmed. But what came to mind is, what programming are we doing of others about ourselves? And I'm talking to myself as I say this. Before the show started, a name rolled across the screen, and immediately I thought of what that person said about his name, and I am not going to say it, Ann, don't worry. But that person programmed into my mind the only thing I'll remember about that person. Now, yes, I remember the name, but that's all I remember. You know. And so it begs the question, when we speak about ourselves, and I know I'm guilty about this in some cases, what are we programming other people to remember about us? And what I'm thinking of at this point, I always say, I'm a shy person. Well, I'm going to consciously not say that anymore, because what I have just redone, or what I've just decided to say, is that instead of saying shy, I will say to myself or out loud that I will remain quiet until I have something to say. But when I have something to say, I will say it.
Yeah, Galen, if I can just make a what Ursula just shared is so very powerful about self-talk. I just invested a week with the Peachy Peachy organization in a training, 5 days. Actually, today is the last day, and I'm here with all of you. I chose to be here instead of in class, right? But one of the main takeaways from that class, Mrs. Peachy shared about when we introduce ourselves, the value proposition that we share really should come first before our name, because it should be benefit-driven to person. And so just the subconscious mind going to work and just thinking about that, you don't know what you don't know, but we're still responsible to know. So when Ursula shared that, and we were actually the person was on the show and shared that comment, and like she said, it stuck in her mind, and then she shared it before the show started. But intentionally, speakers, entrepreneurs, just regular people, think about how do you see yourself? And that goes to another chapter in this book that talks about the self-confidence formula and this whole self-image and the work that you do, Galen, and the work that Peter does. I just want to encourage each of our listeners to really give that some thought, that 30-second commercial, and how do you really see yourself before you speak? So just want to share that subconsciously.
All right. Well, hey, I just, as with every conversation, this has been really, really uplifting and reinforcing for me. I would love to go around and just hear from everyone, what are some significant ahas that you may have gotten from this conversation, and how can people get a hold of you if they want more, if they want specific one-on-one access to you? And Ms. Ursula, let's start with you. Let's go to you first. How can people get a hold of you, and what are some things that you got from this conversation?
Well, you can get a hold of me at sulatu.com, and if you're on Zoom, you can see the address right above my head. And I'm on YouTube, believe it or not. I have a channel that's called Sulatu, and out there there's Wisdom and Young Legend. That's something that I do that I really enjoy. And I tell you about some of the things that I, in my company does, from legacy walls to videos and what have you. Sulatu.com will get you a link to all of that. And as far as this show is concerned, oh, there's so many things. But on a personal basis, I think the culmination that led to my making the statement about being shy and what I'm not, about what I'm not going to say about myself in the future is a deliberate, conscious action that I will take that will impact my subconscious mind.
Fantastic. That's a great takeaway. And I hope people will not only subscribe to her YouTube channel, but reach out to her directly because the work that she does is absolutely fantastic. So, Dr. Peter James, let's go to you. What did you get from this conversation, and how can people get a hold of you if, like me, they want to reach out to you as a coach?
Yeah, good stuff, Galen. Great show today. Actually, what Ursula just said to me, said to us, really sunk into me. You know, it's important that we teach people how to love and treat us. Mm-hmm. Right? How are you teaching others, those around you, to love and treat you? And I think this often is very important. It stems from our subconscious, as a matter of fact, because we often speak out our doubts, speak out our fears. Now, translating over to the book to a certain extent, two phrases from the text in this subconscious mind really jump off to me. And we've talked about them a little bit off and on, but hear them out. Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time, right? Think about that. You cannot think about something negative and something positive simultaneously. So what do you choose to think about moving forward? Once you inundates your mind, you're not thinking about something positive at the same time. I choose to think more positively. And lastly, the very last phrase in this chapter says, faith and fear cannot operate in the same space also. Faith and fear make poor bedfellows, to be the quote, and where one is found, the other cannot exist. So again, what do you choose? I choose faith. I don't choose to live in fear. Oftentimes, social media, television, all the papers, they are trying to scare us to a certain extent. And I'm not subscribing to that by any means. So I encourage you all who are listening, those of you who are watching as you reflect on yourself, this is all about you and your self-awareness of your subconscious. What are you injecting? My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. Helping you to shift your mindset. You can find me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames. Awesome stuff, Galen.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Brilliant coach. Brilliant guy. Definitely reach out to him. And while we're speaking about brilliant, you got to go to Ms. Ann McNeil. So, Ms. Ann, I know you've been in this for a while. You've been in this book for a while. But as you said at the top of the show, every time you get into it, you're always learning. You're always gathering more information, more insights. What's some information or insights that you got from this conversation, and how can people get a hold of you?
Okay, well, I think five takeaways. for programming your subconscious mind. The first would be you must have a goal or desire, something you want to achieve, and your subconscious mind will help you bring that. Secondly, you must use self-talk, positive affirmations in order to program your subconscious mind toward that which you desire. Thirdly, your emotions. When you talked about the positive emotions, Galen, your positive emotions will help you to program your subconscious mind. And then fourth, when you think about feeling the feeling as if it has already happened, the visualization of that which you desire will be the fourth way to program your subconscious mind. And then finally, number five, and I'm learning this from being in the chapter of persistence, eternal persistence, never ending toward that which you desire, is another way to program your subconscious mind. My name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life in every area of your life. And you can find me at annmcmillan.com. And if you're struggling or challenged with clarity, then we can help you with that. If you have a few minutes, we can talk.
Well, definitely worth the conversation. I'll tell you, Ann McNeil is one of those people that when I need to call upon my sage, when I need to call upon my wisdom, I usually hear that in Ann's voice at this point. So definitely worth the conversation. Reach out to her. Connect in any way that you possibly can. This has been an incredible reinforcement of all of the training, all of the books that I've been reading lately, and it's all been foundationed in this book that was written in 1937. As a matter of fact, there's one passage on page 213 that I just want to read to you. It says, you are living daily in the midst of all manner of thought impulses which are reaching your subconscious mind without your knowledge or awareness. So basically, if you are not happy with your current situation, you have the power to change that. But you change that by changing your thoughts, by changing the information that's coming at you. There is no accident that people are making and spending millions and millions of dollars to advertise on television or the radio or social media. We're spending that kind of money, and I'm a business owner. So I spend quite a bit of money in that kind of advertising because I know that's the best way to influence people to do what I want them to do. You have control. You have the power to change the information that's coming into your subconscious, because your subconscious is what controls your behavior. So I'm going to leave you with three more assignments. We coaches, we like to give assignments. We love to give homework, right? So here's the next piece of homework. I want you to think of a small amount of money, and I'm going to suggest something $100 or less, and I want you to write down that amount of money that you anticipate getting from some unexpected means, right? And that you're just going to expect that some amount of money, it has to be a specific amount of money. You can't just write down something less than $100. You have to write down a specific number that you expect to get from some unanticipated means before the next show next Saturday, right? And I want you to write that down. I want you to look at it every day. I want you to look at it and put it in a place on your phone where you can look at it at every opportunity that you get. The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to write the name of a person that you haven't talked to or that you haven't seen in a while that you just really would like to connect with or reconnect with at some point. You don't know how, you don't know how, you know when, but write that person's name down next to that number, right? And just expect that sometime before this next show, you're going to connect with that person in some way, okay? And then the last thing I want you to do, and this is going to sound strange, but really, really want you to do it, is I want you to think of a specific color and that you're convinced that this color brings good luck, it brings fortune, it brings wisdom, and I want you to write that color down. And every time you notice that color, I want you to reflect on these thoughts, these desires that you have associated with that color, the good fortune, the good luck. And I want you to be conscious of how many times you notice that color before this show, this time next week. You're going to be amazed. And this is all about building your confidence that this stuff really works. You're programming your mind to achieve those things that you decide that you want to achieve. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist. I help leaders make permanent success into their work and life. And if you have a desire, if you have success that you are achieving on accident, and you want to figure out a way to achieve that success on purpose, we need to talk. So give me a call. Reach out to me. The best way to get a hold of me is Galen@killglobalcoaching.com. We'll find a way to carve out time and have a conversation so that we can help you live life and have success on purpose. This has been an incredible show, a mastermind class on Think and Grow Rich. And I am really, really excited to see you next Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time when we start to talk about the next step in the process. Until next time, take care.
Goodbye.